Welcome back to Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. We'll get to the Tower Babbling here in a personal notes as we wrap up the show. Let's do a cleanup item. So Elon Musk became the most hated person in America during the 2 minutes hate that the Democrat Party decided to aim at him. That's a George Orwell term. He had his sales facilities vandalized. They attempted to burn them down and to bomb them. He had cars on lots prepared to be sold that were burned and some bombed. He had his life threatened. He had to employ more security. His employees' lives were threatened. The stock of one of his core companies, Tesla, took a dive. The so-called governor of Minnesota, dictator named Tim Walz, encouraged people to do these things and was laughing at the decline of stock. Elon Musk became the public enemy of the media, the Mockingbird media, the world-class hypocrites of the World Economic Forum. All of this because he decided to use his talents to modernize Washington, D.C.'s system to find actual fraud, actual abuse of our money. And he's found a lot of it. It's something between $9 and $17 billion. But he also found structural fraud. One-third of the money that our Treasury spent, that's your money and mine, was untraceable. Not was, is. Is. We will never know who got that money because they didn't force a system to say where the money went. We will never know. So the savings aren't just what they found in terms of what had been spent, but structures that had been built and put in place to make sure that we wouldn't know, to make fraud easier. It was a system designed to be defrauded. And you could say, no, it's just incompetence. Indeed. See, if you're working, if you go to a restaurant where the cooks are incompetent, sometimes you're going to end up with great food. You know, a broken clock, right twice a day. They got lucky. But that's not what we saw. There are no examples in D.C. that there's been a significant effort to weed out fraudulent spending. Because everyone has known at the Treasury Department for decades. Oh, you don't have to say where the money's going. We had departments in the government buy out football stadiums to have parties for staff. And everybody knew. This is fraud. So right now there's discussion, and Speaker Mike Johnson is saying, he said, I want to be fair to Johnson because I'm highly critical of him. Speaker Mike Johnson recently just said on social media that yes, the spending cuts from DOGE, that we're going to get to those. Yes, we're going to do this in a reconciliation process. Yes, these are going to be in there. So he's insisting that. He's insisting that this isn't the time to insert them, but that time is going to happen. He says he's committed to that. I just want to be fair. But Elon Musk, who went through all of this, who risked his companies, who risked his life, who became hated, didn't have to do that. I wonder how he feels. Well, maybe we can know. Listen here to this clip, to what sounds like a demoralized Elon Musk after the Republican Party refused to codify the DOGE cuts.
I think in terms of political spending, I'm going to do a lot less in the future.
And why is that?
I think I've done enough.
Is it because of blowback?
Well, if I see a reason to do political spending in the future, I will do it. I don't currently see a reason.
Does he sound demoralized to you? I think if Elon Musk had gotten a return on his investment all this time sleeping on the floors in office buildings, not just giving money, I get the feeling that Elon Musk would say, yeah, I'm going to continue to do this because look at what we've done in right-sizing our nation's spending. And just so that I am absolutely as well-heard as I could ever hope to be, I hope we do all understand this. we can go through some very difficult and painful cuts, or we can collapse. So I would suggest that we as Christians, because most of us are Christians, would do well to remember that we've been given America to steward, and that I think Jesus is watching this. I don't think, I know he is. On this program, we thank the Lord for placing supposedly wise people on tall towers of shaking sand with our feature called The Tower of Babbling.
You know about the biblical truth of the Tower of Babel. A Disciple's View presents The Tower of Babbling.
Hey, if you have an issue with trans women being in cis woman sports, you're either not a real athlete, because any real athlete would welcome a challenge and welcome the opportunity to show that they're better than the other person, or two, you're a sore loser, or just not an athlete in general. So,
well, that's certainly well argued. Three sound bites in today's Tower Babbling. The View was upset that Jake Tapper wrote about Joe Biden's mental decline.
Should anonymous sources who talked to Tapper have spoken up about their concerns while he was in office, while he was still in office? And my other question is, why is this important to know now?
Yeah. Well, that's what some people want to know.
It just seems to me,
yeah,
you know, we got a lot of stuff to be concerned about at the moment.
Shall I whisper? Yes, okay, please. When is Jake Tapper going to write a book about the cognitive decline of the person who is in charge right now?
Oh, that's clever. Why does it matter? Well, let's see. 2,600 pardons signed by Otto Penn. We don't know who did that. Who held the nuclear codes? These diktats that he installed, executive orders and other things. Did he even know that? Did anything he actually did during office, does any of it count? And by the way, can it happen again? Those are just a few reasons why it's important to know. Next soundbite in today's Tower Babbling. In 2018, Mika Brzezinski declared Trump was unfit for office.
To anybody who works inside the White House, works on the National Security Team, works in the State Department, at some point, you are working for a president who is not fit to lead, who's going to do something crazy in 5 minutes, 1 hour, tonight or tomorrow. Like, what more do you need to hear from him to start thinking 25th Amendment or something else? This is not okay. This is not normal. And this is where we are.
And yet a figurehead, Biden, who thought his son had been Attorney General of the United States, who actually thought he drove a semi-truck for a living, perfectly normal. Last soundbite in today's Tower Babbling. John Kerry, also in 2018, also claimed that America didn't really have a president because Trump was unfit for office.
We don't have a president, and we have a president who's there, but he is not capable of doing the job or living up to the responsibilities. And that, you can imagine what people all around the world are reading. I mean, I got some emails today from abroad, friends of mine did. What's going on? What's happening in the United States of America? You're the leader of the free world, but we have serious doubts about what is happening in your country.
There's a piece of Jake Tapper's book, which is a whole lot of things, including a psyop to help the media, that points out that world leaders would leave meetings with Biden saying, wow, he is not there. Of course, I haven't heard John Kerry say that. I didn't hear him say that then, even though it was obvious to all of us. And that there, that's a wrap for today's Tower of Babbling.
Destruction of property is a perfectly viable source of protest. No harming humans, obviously. Yeah. Human life is sacred no matter whose it is. But property is, these are just things. These are just cars.
That was the Tower of Babbling on A Disciple's View.
Didn't we just talk about it? Oh, good job, Randy. Didn't we just talk about what happened to Tesla? On a personal note today, I guess it's as I age, smells are becoming more potent to me. And sense of seasons are becoming more potent to me. And there's something in the air now that just reminds me of a hunting trip I took with my father. And let's see, who was on that? My father, his friend Jerry was on that. Friend Skip was on that trip. And we went to Wyoming to hunt antelope. And so much happened on that trip. That's always made just an incredible impact on me. Number one, was my dad had said, if you kill your first antelope with one shot, you can use my tag to take another antelope. And when we arrived in Wyoming, I'd been sitting in that motorhome for so long, I was so sick of it that I decided to go on a hike, went up to the top of this ridge, and I was standing up there, and I took my rifle and my sidearm in case of snakes. It is Wyoming. And I was standing up there, and my dad came and found me. And he said, well, son, you're not going to shoot any antelope up here. And I said, well, what about that one down on the plains? He goes, oh, good luck. I said, how far do you think that is? He said, oh, I don't know, 300 yards, 400 yards. Good luck. So just as a joke, I guess, I took as careful aim as I could, not thinking I could get anywhere near it, and shot. Irresponsible, sure, because it could have hurt the animal and not taken it down. But my dad, very responsible man, just thought there's no way you're going to get anywhere near it. I don't know how, but I killed it. We were walking down the hill, and my dad said, what? And he took his rifle, he glassed and said, you killed it. It was a great shot. Pure luck. It had to be. I didn't know how to adjust for wind or height. Absolute happenstance. We went down, clean kill, through the heart. Through the heart. So that night I went to sleep sort of excited and woke up in the morning. My dad said, well, your next antelope's right by the motorhome. What? It's right up there. It's 10 feet away. It's a beautiful, like, I don't remember how many points it was. It was a huge antelope. So I went out and it stood there staring me in the face. It was maybe 15 feet from me. Got my rifle, aimed at his chest, fired, missed. I was leaning on a cot. The antelope didn't move an inch. Just looked at me like, what? That's your best? I took another shot. Missed. And then it turned around and walked away. It didn't run. Well, see ya. And it left. I went in. My dad said, I'll come out and help you take it down. What was the second shot about? I missed. What? I missed. No, I missed. Antelope was gone. So I told this story to the guy who'd let us use his ranch. It was a Native American guy. And this was after I did take my third antelope, or my second antelope, using my dad's tag. And in that case, it was a shot across a little pond. And the antelope appeared to be suffering for a second. And I took a second shot and I ended it. I couldn't stand seeing the animal suffer. And when we got over there, we're walking over. My dad said, the second shot was probably unnecessary. It was in its last moments. I said, yeah, but it was suffering. So we got there and we were getting ready to field dress the animal. And I told this guy who let us use his ranch the story of the antelope in the morning. And he told me that from the native perspective. He said, oh, yeah, that was the spirit of the animal you killed earlier. Really? He goes, well, do you really think you missed from 15 feet away and it didn't move? Well, you aimed straight at the chest, the body, and it didn't move? Can you even miss at 15 feet? That's a spirit animal. Now, I know we're Christian people, 99% of us, we don't believe in spirit animals. I'm telling you what he said from his pagan perspective. Interesting thought. So then he did this to me when I took this other antelope down. My dad and I were both fascinated by native culture. Fascinated. So we were field dressing the animal and he removed the heart. And he said, this is what the elders used to do. Take the life of an animal, respect the animal, become part of the animal, and take a bite of its heart. And he handed me this fresh heart. And he said, this is what the elders did. So very reluctantly, I took a bite. And he said, and I swallowed it. And he said, that is so gross. I said, what? He goes, that's so sick. I can't believe you actually ate that. I said, you told me that's what the elders did. He said, yes, they're the elders. We don't do that anymore. We're changed people. That meant so much to me, that joke. And then the next morning, I woke up. And down below me, on the bunk beneath me, was a boy my age who'd been on the hunting trip but couldn't go out. Well, I mean, he could go, but not very far. Because at the age of 15, his father was changing his diaper. And he looked at me in the eye. Loved the guy. Known him my whole life. Never occurred to me what I had and he didn't have until that moment of eye contact. Let's remember what we have. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Because we believe, we speak. Because He first loved us, we speak His Word, and we walk in the path of Jesus Christ to make disciples of all nations until God gives us permission to speak again together. May His peace, which transcends all understanding, rest upon you and your families. On behalf of Randy and AFR, I'm Todd Herman, and this has been A Disciple's View.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.
Welcome back to Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. Next segment, we'll get to cleanup item or two and personal notes and Tower Babbling, of course. Just a content warning here, just in this first story, where we get in the world and not of it. It has to do with a case of abuse. And if you have young kids listening, just please be cautious. I'm not going to use any horrible language, but it's a very, very difficult story. I am completely removed. Almost completely from pop culture. I really have no idea what goes on in pop culture. Now, part of my job is to be in the world. And praise God, I don't want to be, or God willing, I don't want to be part of it. We're called to be in the world and not of it. We are the exiled elect, as it were, elected by God to be here, but not of here. And there's a team of young people who work for me. And their job is technically, their job is to produce the content for my podcast. I mean, I do the content, but they do the production. And they work within the YouTube world to help us grow. And praise God, they've been great at that. And they're pretty connected to pop culture, just innately. It's kind of how they grew up. They're all Christian people, by the way. And praise God for that. So one such person is named Brianna. And Brianna sent me a video and said, I would really like to hear your reaction to this. So I was therefore exposed to a woman named Gypsy Rose. I had no idea who she was. Her name, full name, Gypsy Rose Blanchard, and she was born in 1991. Since then, I've come to understand that this is a very well-known story, that there's a television show about her and movies, etc. And so you may know this case, others may not, so you'll forgive me if I give just a quick synopsis of what happened to her and what she did, some might say, in return. I think people would be tempted to say she did it for revenge. I don't think it was revenge. Her mother was apparently a deeply, deeply sick and probably evil woman through whom great evil was done. Her name was Claudine Dee Dee Blanchard. And she was a sufferer of... It's weird to call her the sufferer because she did to her daughter horrible things, but it's the Munchausen by proxy syndrome. And this is where, to gain attention and I guess interaction with medical authorities, to get sympathy, people make their kids sick. And there's a lot of people who will look at what the lies of transgenderism as that, oh, look at me and my brave kid and look at the medical world. And now this went to a just frightening degree. So this woman, Dee Dee, her mother, claimed that Gypsy suffered from things like leukemia, muscular dystrophy, epilepsy, developmental issues. She forced her to use a wheelchair. She told the young girl she couldn't walk. Feeding tube, oxygen tank, and all this despite the fact that Gypsy was actually healthy. She shaved her daughter's head, subjected her to a whole bunch of unneeded medical experiments, and lied about her age. And all this was to continue to perpetuate this fraud. Told her she was 3 or 4 years younger than she was. She at times apparently would chain her to beds. She was homeschooled, and look, so was our daughter. I wish we'd never put her in government schools. She would have been far better off being homeschooled. But in this case, it was for control, not for education. Gypsy made the decision under obvious mental distress, and I would say in an extreme case of spiritual warfare. She made the decision to end her mother's life. She actually worked with someone to do this, a guy named Nicholas Gojon, she met online. And in fact, they did end her mother's life. He did the work. And he ended her life in a brutal way. They fled. They were ultimately caught. Both of them went to prison. And Gypsy is now out. And she's now received a lot of media attention. There was a movie HBO did, Mommy Dead and Dearest, Hulu series, The Act, Lifetime's The Prison Confessions of Gypsy Rose Blanchard. And recently, she made a statement. And this is what this woman I pay to work on the cast, and I would consider a friend, Brianna sent me. And it's Gypsy Rose speaking, okay? So this is Gypsy Rose, and she's breaking down over the idea of telling her own daughter about her past.
And I had been hit with the question, how are you going to tell your daughter about what you did? And I just want to know that she's going to love me and forgive me for what I did in my past. I just don't want that to, like, cloud her mind and her end up hating me.
But that's the best part of the pressure you're putting on yourself to do it perfect.
Yeah. And I'm not a monster. And I don't want her to grow up thinking that I'm one.
It's very difficult to hear. It's very difficult. So maybe I'd start somewhere else. And I might ask Gypsy Rose, who are you? I might ask this question, who loves you above all? Who wept when you thought you were alone? And this woman, this person who gave birth to you and never was really a mother, who was there watching and weeping? You've been saved. Okay, Gypsy Rose has been saved from the end. This woman could have killed her daughter with all of this unneeded medical stuff. Chaining her to her bed, God forbid there'd been a fire, and God did forbid it. She's out now with a platform. So I might say to Gypsy Rose, you've been saved from something. You've been saved from death, saved from captivity, both at your mother's hands and now at a Justice Department's hands or justice system's hands, which you deserved. You did commit murder. But you've been saved for something. So you may not know this, Gypsy Rose, but Jesus watched all of this. And he wept, and he loves you. And if you're not truly part of his family, maybe start there, because you were created by God in his image. What that woman did to you, she did to him, to Jesus himself. As you treat the least of these, so you treat me, Jesus said. So I might start by asking that question, who are you? And I might answer for you that you are someone created by God. Who do you want to be? Sounds like you want to be loved. That makes sense. Given what you went through, of course you want to be loved. Unconditionally, it sounds like. By a child. But what if the unconditional love of a Savior who died for the sin you committed with the man with whom you partnered to end your mother's life. That sin was already paid for. And so with the free gift of redemption in the Lord Jesus, you can be someone you can describe as this: I am a daughter of the King. I am redeemed. I am washed in Jesus Christ. And now let's think about your daughter. Who is she? Clearly you love her. Clearly your heart is pained at the idea of her judging you for what you felt you had to do. Clearly you said you want her to love you unconditionally, it seems. And I believe she will. I believe it's difficult to hear about your circumstances and come away from that and not have some empathy for what you did. And you tend to her physically, mentally, but who do you want her to be? Do you want her to be unconditionally loved? Do you want her to know that the Savior of all mankind, that the God who made it possible for you to give her life, knows her, has counted every hair on her head, and loves her unconditionally? Do you want her to walk with him? Now, I hope your daughter forgives you. After all, you took from her a grandma, but honestly, would you have wanted that grandma around your daughter? No, not ever, ever. So God's going to deal with the soul of your mother. God's going to deal with your soul, but only in the way you want. So he doesn't take captive. He doesn't force. Love doesn't do that. He's inviting. And Gypsy, I don't know if you know the Lord, but I know he knows you. And I know what he wants your daughter to be. He wants your daughter and his family. He wants you to be able to say, I am the daughter, a daughter of the King. My daughter is a daughter of the King, and together we live in Christ's family. That's what I hope for you. You see, these pop culture things, these matter. It absolutely matters. Because people in the world don't know that they're of it. I was just the other day reflecting upon how many people I know who are so successful on a worldly basis, who are now in touch with me saying, oh my gosh, you know, I thought my kids had it together. They've gone off the rails. And you know, you guys had this thing with your daughter. Can you talk me through what you guys did? And I said, yeah, let's start with the mistake. We didn't put God at the center. Oh, no, we've always gone to church. Yeah, I know, but do you walk with the Lord? Do you let him change you? Because I know you're successful in business, and I know that your kids were rock star athletes, and I know that they did well in college, and I know that they had these businesses going, but you're coming to me now talking in our late 50s about now, oh my gosh, I didn't know it, but my son has a drinking problem and a drug issue, and the family's breaking up, and my daughter's husband left, and he's moved across town, and he barely wants to see his little boy, and how did this all happen? I'm not blaming the parents. I'm saying the world. So pop culture matters. Particularly on huge platforms. The apologist Wesley Huff says that interest in the Bible is at an all-time high among people like Joe Rogan and their Gen X followers.
We're seeing what I don't think is an exaggeration to say somewhat of a resurgence in interest in these topics that we've been talking about, even the nitty-gritty. We had someone who reached out to us recently at Apologetics Canada, who is probably the last bricks and mortar Christian bookstore that I've ever heard of. But they said, we have people walking through our doors asking, young people, teenagers, saying, I want a Bible. All my friends are reading this thing.
Praise God for that. Oh, and incidentally, Joe Rogan. Now, I kind of feel uncomfortable saying this, but apparently Rogan has been going to church. And Rogan's had a series of people on, some I know, to talk with him about intelligent design. Dr. Stephen Meyer went on. Great guy. Unbelievably humble man. Brilliant, brilliant mind. Unbelievably humble. And Dr. Stephen Meyer wrote my very favorite book on intelligent design, Signature in the Cell, and a whole series of other books. Got to go on with Rogan and talk about intelligent design. He's had Wesley Huff on. And Huff spoke to him about the love of the Lord Jesus and used his great, great skill as an apologist to talk through some of the doubts. And apparently Rogan has leaned into this as the nomenclature, and he's been going to church. How much could change if this man, who is worldly, were to realize that, Joe, you're just a guest here, like guests on your podcast. You are just a guest. This is not your home. How much could change? There is such a need for this. I recently watched the movie that Angel Studios put out. It's called The King of Kings. Have you seen this? So The King of Kings tells a story from the perspective of a dad who is Charles Dickens. And Dickens wrote a work called The Story of Our Lord, and it's based upon this, that Dickens is telling his very precocious, I would say actually rude little boy with a rude little cat, the story of the Lord Jesus at his wife's urging. He'd written this manuscript, and he's telling his child this one-on-one. And this is where the story begins, and the change that goes through this little boy. It's really well done. It's not talked about, it's shown. Those of us who know the Lord Jesus and know how he changes us, we'll watch this little boy change. We'll watch the point of view change. The little boy is now watching the events of the life of Jesus. He is virtually there. His dad, of course, Charles Dickens, a brilliant storyteller. But there is a point in that movie where the point of view changes, where no longer is the little boy watching Jesus save others, but he is being saved by the Lord Jesus. He's drowning in the lake, and the Lord Jesus lifts him out. He's dead. And the Lord Jesus says, awake, come out. He's needy, and the Lord Jesus feeds him. It's a clever storytelling technique where the little boy is now involved in the gospel. It's his little biscuits or crackers that the Lord Jesus first asked for when he decides to feed the 5,000. The little boy gets to watch this. Now, this is a movie made for little kids and families. So why then do I have ninth grade boys celebrating the movie? I'm talking about kids many times who are on diversion from juvenile delinquency. You can be on diversion with a parole officer and have a urine test a couple times a month, or you can go to juvenile hall. Why do I have them coming to me saying, oh my gosh, you got to watch this, Todd. It's the greatest story. Because we're coded for this. We're called to be in the world and not of it. Let's pray. I mean, as an AFR family, let's pray that Joe Rogan opens his heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray for that. We'll come back on The Disciples View. God has really blessed me. You know, he let me work in D.C., let me work with EIB in Hollywood, in Silicon Valley. And he's shown me through all those experiences that there is one problem and one solution, and that's why we do this show.
Welcome to A Disciple's View with Todd Herman.
When the God of the universe created the world, God did not snap his fingers or wink his eye. He spoke words. The Lord said, let there be light. And because we believe, we speak about the happenings in this fallen world, mindful that our true home is with Jesus Christ in his kingdom. I'm Todd Herman. Welcome to A Disciple's View on American Family Radio. And thank you to everybody behind the scenes. Thank you to the people who do the books at AFR, AFA. Thank you to the security team, to the people who manage or volunteer relationships, to the management, to Randy behind the scenes today, to everybody who does the news, to the fellow hosts. What a blessing and what an honor to be welcomed here. Still the new guy. Maybe one day I won't be the new guy anymore. But just been a while since I'd said that. So thank you to every single person back there. Man, there is a behind the scenes way of destroying something that RFK Jr. is engaged in, and praise God for the way he's doing this. Now, you might notice that I'm a bit of a dramatic person. I think that's what God made me to be. I would have preferred that RFK Jr. on day one would have come out and said, the COVID shots are done for. They're terrible genetic engineering devices, gene sequencing devices, gene hijacking devices. They've caused miscarriages and heart attacks and are causing turbo cancers and heart attacks, and they're killing people, and they're gone. Well, he was raised in a political family. He is, of course, a Kennedy. He serves President Trump at the president's pleasure. President Trump is never, I think, going to admit what these shots were, but RFK Jr. is very, very wisely dismantling them. First, FDA is no longer going to provide immediate clearance or approval for shots for people who are not over the age of 65 and sick or at risk. And even then, no reason for someone to take these shots. I guess if it could help you live an extra 2 weeks, if that's what you're into, okay. That's my opinion. Now it's healthy pregnant women and, or no, pregnant women and healthy children. And there's no reason at all for any child to get these shots. And pregnant women, oh, God forbid. So he's made that announcement. It's the death by paper cut scenario. And in this segment, I'm going to get to the reason this might be happening. We might have President Trump's sons to thank for this. And we might have his chief of staff to blame for it not happening sooner. But let's start here. President Trump made a statement. President Trump says that Big Pharma owns our politicians.
I decided I've got to break the system. And it's the most powerful lobby in the world, the drug company. Most powerful they are, the most powerful. And I'm not saying bad, good, I'm not saying anything, but they have tremendous power over the Senate, over the House, over the governors, over everybody. And they spend more money, billions and billions of dollars. And I said, I don't care. I have to do what's right.
President Trump has done what's right, it appears, by taking the shackles off of RFK Jr. Praise God for this. And incidentally, it's not just the COVID shots. I was just looking at a video that was done in 2006. Cheryl Atkinson, when she was back at CBS News, did a piece on how the flu shot didn't provide any benefit. Zero benefit. None. And they were still pushing it upon people. This has been long lasting, but notice this. In 2006, CBS reported critically about pharma. It was about that time frame that Anderson Cooper did a five-part series on Pfizer, paying the biggest criminal fine in history of a company. And then things changed. All of a sudden, we don't talk that way about pharma. So President Trump's correct as to what they are in D.C., but it's also the fact that they control media through their spends. Not here. Not here. We have an audience of one, that is God Almighty, a family of many, that's you. You have more control over this radio network than you might know. Because the management here cares so much for your opinion and how we steward your monies. If you ever have feedback you want them to read about me or any of the hosts, just email comments@afr.net. It'll get right to the bosses. So President Trump said something. RFK Jr. was there. This is true about pharma. And death by paper cuts is one way to do this because it prevents President Trump from having to recognize that he made a mistake when he let Fauci run the country. It prevents him from having to apologize for allowing the shots to go forward. And let's be clear, he was conned. President Trump was conned. And his instincts were to save lives. It was a good con. They did it well. But President Trump isn't going to be forced to apologize. But the shots are being ended, and they should be. Here's a few data points on why this is so important, what RFK Jr. has done. Dr. James Thorpe found that the mRNA injection causes miscarriage, stillbirth, and birth defects in women and babies.
Pharmaceutical companies paid $1.06 billion to reviewers at leading medical journals, the New England Journal of Medicine, JAMA, Lancet, and BMJ, thus corrupting the peer review process. At least six existing studies, three from CDC, FDA, and two from Pfizer, revealed major breaches in safety signals for COVID-19 vaccines in pregnancy. These findings were ignored. Conversely, countless independent researchers with no conflicts of interest published findings that contradicted the false narratives and the pharmaceutical industry narratives. only to be rewarded by persecution, censorship, and threats to their medical licenses and board certifications. This is not hypothetical. It happened to me.
And that data point has happened to hundreds and thousands of people. So what RFK Jr. is doing in this wise way is very, very important, because this stuff is going to continue to happen. These spike proteins being reproduced in people's bodies, there are no off switches on these COVID shots. And depending on the batch you got, you could still be producing them today. I just had a friend have a massive, massive heart attack after he went to an ER, and they said, cardiologist said, no, you're good. You're fine. He'd been injected. It's just one friend. In the past 3 weeks, I've learned of six mothers, young mothers, who've developed turbo cancer. Didn't have cancer, then they did. Now, yes, that's anecdotal. It happens that all of these people were injected, all of them. And it happens it was no other broad change done to the health of the public. So what RFK Jr. is doing is vitally important. How do you think God views it? How do you think God views the decision that Anthony Fauci made with your tax money to allow the Department of Defense to design these shots and then give them to Pfizer and Moderna, these shots that vandalize our body's code, that carefully constructed DNA? How do you think God views that? I don't know, but I'm guessing not well. Here's another data point. Dr. Jordan Vaughn laid out exactly how the mRNA injections work to harm those who receive them.
This case prompted deeper investigation that the spike protein's ability to induce fibrin that's resistant to breakdown, activate platelets irreversibly, and damage the inside of our vessels, vessels that run to every part of our body and every organ, explained his symptoms and those of thousands more since. I have treated approximately 4,000 patients suffering from long COVID and vaccine injury, or both. Many were young and previously healthy. For those with vaccine injury, trust in public institutions has been shattered. Many were coerced under the August 2021 federal mandates. Despite legitimate hesitations due to prior infection or personal health risks, they knew their body better than the agencies. Now disabled, they are dismissed or ignored by the systems that mandated their compliance.
I know people who felt forced to get those injections and now deeply, deeply resent it and regret it. I don't know a single person who didn't get injected and regrets that. RFK Jr. is employing the death by paper cuts. President Trump has been immunized from having to apologize for these shots. And again, he didn't design them. They were placed in front of him as the only way to save. They were pretending that 3 to 30 million Americans were going to die from this flu. I understand his instincts. I wish he was able to say I made a mistake, and he can't. And maybe it's too much of a liability politically. So as we're building up to something that I think is rather important, it's a realization of God's plan. Family. Family. What finally changed this? What finally allowed RFK Jr. to get to make these changes? We'll get there in a second after one more data point from Dr. Peter McCullough. This is all coming from testimony to the Senate. These people testifying in public, if they're under oath, threat of perjury. So what RFK Jr. is doing, he's got backup by people who have been through this fight for 4 or 5 years, telling truth at great cost to themselves, sometimes being threatened with loss of their medical licenses, in some cases being threatened with being put in prison. If you live in Germany or Australia, you can be imprisoned as a doc for saying stuff like this. Dr. Peter McCullough was asked by Senator Ron Johnson if he has any science to back up his mRNA death link findings.
And do you have any science to back up your opinion?
The best data are autopsies. So in the largest autopsy series published to date, I know because I'm the senior author, of all the deaths we examined, and we re-reviewed them, we had an adjudication committee, we had ways of arbitration, deciding on did the vaccine cause death. The answer is, of these cases that came in for autopsy after vaccination, 73.9% of individuals, it was determined that the vaccine was the cause of death. First author is Holscher and colleagues, who's sitting right behind me.
So there is more than enough data to know that this was a tremendous mistake. and something else. I will say this until the day God takes me home. And I want everybody who's a doctor in the medical field at all, please, please, please hear this with an open heart. Please ask yourself this question. Please. How did a community college dropout know? How did I know these things were going to be poisonous? How did I know that they were going to cause all of these functions? Just because I'm gifted? Nope. God's gifted me with some things, no doubt. I don't have a fear of speaking in public. I enjoy it. I enjoy speaking to crowds. God's gifted me with some things. And God gifted me with something else. He's gifted all of us with this. All of us. Common sense. The design of these injections were to fool your body into producing something that could harm your body. When you understand the basics of this, it's very difficult to come away without asking a question. Wait, wouldn't that screw up your immune system? It did. It did. And much, much more. So just a note behind the scenes to my friend Randy, we're going to skip forward in a clip here in a second. Randy, I'm going to go to Dr. Ryan Cole. God's plan is for family. One man, one woman in a loving marriage. And it's family we may have to credit for this change. This is Dr. Ryan Cole making a point that Donald Trump's sons were aware of the problem with Operation Warp Speed, but his chief of staff blocked the doctor from meeting with him.
I agree. And let's just say I'm very aware that two of President Trump's sons are very hyper aware of the problems of Operation Warp Speed and the shot. There were a couple of us that were invited to present to President Trump when he was still a candidate. Unfortunately, his chief of staff blocked us at that point in time. The family knows. I've talked to Ben Carson, former cabinet member. Ben has tried to talk to him. Many people have tried to talk to him. If we can give him credit for Operation Warp Speed, he functions on a point of wanting to be right, wanting to have done good things. So if you can acknowledge it was a great scientific effort, but at the same time, great efforts also have harms. If you give him the credit for trying, but then, if he gets to see, Follow the Silenced or films like that, he has a heart for humanity. He really does, whether people think he does or not. I think it's important that a film like that gets in front of him and he'll recognize that, maybe we need an Operation Warp Need for those who are now in need from the harms done.
Indeed, we should be stepping in to help mitigate the harms done by this Department of Defense op given to Pfizer, Moderna, and incidentally, they can still be put on trial because the shots that went in your arms, they never had emergency use authorization. No one got one of those. We'll come back on the Disciples View.